That's on me. This morning, we are continuing our sermon series where we are looking at kind of the worldly sayings and then thinking about what does Scripture tell us about those worldly sayings. So last week, Miriam had a fantastic sermon for us where we looked at, does God help those who help themselves? And so if you haven't heard that, I would invite you to go back and listen on either the podcast or the audio is linked on the website. This morning, we are going to look at birds of a feather flock together. And we're going to look at the book of Proverbs, but before we do that, of course, let's go to God in prayer. Holy God, we give you thanks for this day, for this morning, for this opportunity for us to gather together. And so we pray that you would indeed be here, that you would be present, that you would fill this space, that the words that are spoken, the words that are heard, the words that are read are your words, Lord. And of course, may this encounter with you be so powerful that we cannot walk away unchanged. In your holy name we pray, amen. So we're just going to look at one proverb today. It's Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. And before I read it, I just want to remind you, encourage you, challenge you, that one of the things that we are doing kind of throughout this series as we are looking at Proverbs is that we're challenging each of us to read through the book of Proverbs. There are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. And so each day, whatever the date is, you can just pick that date and read that chapter. And so you get through the whole month, you'll be able to read the whole book of Proverbs. So I'd invite you to participate in that. But this morning, we're just going to look at one verse, chapter 13, verse 20. Listen now for the word of the Lord. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools suffers harm. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I think that I've decided this sermon series was maybe a little bit harder than I anticipated it to be. I don't actually think I've ever struggled as much with a sermon series as I have with this one, because we have all of these phrases that have truth to them. Of course they do. That's how they've stood the test of time. This is why our grandma says them all the time. This is how they keep getting passed down through the ages. But each week when I start to look at the proverb, when I start to look at the little saying, I keep thinking there's something about this that does resonate with me, but it's just, I think life is just too complex to be tied up then in this pithy little saying. And on top of that, here's another problem I have, that they all conflict with one another. So does he who hesitate, is he lost, or does haste make waste? Does absence make the heart grow fonder, or out of sight, out of mind? They don't make any sense when you put them all together. It's very complicated. And then as people of faith, when we think about how do we approach life as people who believe in God at work in our world, then how does that impact how we understand all of these sayings? And so with all of that, then this morning we're going to hold this concept of birds of a feather flock together. I picked it because I thought this would be like an easier one. It would be really easy to figure this out. We know that there's a lot of truth to this. We know that people like to be around people who are like them. But I think that if we take a deeper look at it, I think maybe it's more complicated than we want to give it credit for. We are just beginning a school year, and I have a lot of friends this year who are sending their children to college for the first time. Now, at the beginning of a school year in college every year, they have sorority recruitment. Now, I think there's a lot of good to sororities. I participated in Greek life. Sororities in and of themselves can be lovely and wonderful things, but the process of sorority recruitment is awful. It's brutal, it's miserable, and with the increase in enrollment in college, there are now literally thousands of girls walking through houses, begging these communities to let them be a part of it. And with very little information, these groups of young women are deciding what feather each girl is, and does that feather fit into the flock, and then deciding that they don't. I have a friend who called me a couple of weeks ago. She's devastated. She's in tears because her daughter got cut from all of her top sororities. She's in the midst of recruitment. She got cut from all of the best sororities. And it makes sense that we want to be in the best flock. And so it's sad. It's devastating when you're not going to get to be part of that flock. She didn't even know if she could keep being in college anymore. 2 days later, she texted me pictures from bid day because she had joined the very best sorority and she was going to have her very best friends for the whole rest of her life. She was in the best flock possible. Or maybe yesterday, maybe you noticed that college football kicked off at Georgia Tech and Florida State were in Ireland showing the world what you're supposed to do on a Saturday in the fall. And you noticed, right, that everybody on the team wore the same clothes. They all were coming together, and the people traveled for miles and miles across the ocean wearing the color so everybody would know, this is my flock. We think alike, we act alike, we conquer alike. We know it happens all around us, that humans gather with people who think like them, who have similar values. Preferably, we want to dress the same or vote the same or live in the same neighborhoods. We are attracted to people who are like us. Scientifically, by the way, we know this is true as well. There are actual studies done by actual scientists studying people who have proven that romantic partners in opposite sex couples, they couple with people who are objectively the same amount of attractiveness as they are. I don't know how you prove that, but it got proven. Over and over again, studies tell us that we flock to people who are like us. And this is true not just for college sorority girls or football players or equally attractive couples, but throughout the ages, we have seen that like attracts like. It's been going on forever. This phrase, actually, that birds of a feather flock together, the very first time we see this written was 1 bajillion years ago in this group of books called the Apocrypha. The Apocrypha are books that typically are considered to come in between the Old Testament and the New Testament. We don't recognize them as part of our sacred canon of scriptures. That has been in conversation with our friends in the Catholic Church for some time. Some of those books, the Orthodox Church still recognizes sacred. But nonetheless, they are our wisdom texts that we've seen throughout the years. And there is a book in there, the Book of Sirach, that is written by a man named Ben Sira. And in that book, he writes this, and this is the first time we're going to see this in written down. Birds roost with their own kind, so honesty comes home to those who practice it. We'll see it later in literature when William Turner is going to use the phrase as an anti-Catholic slant. And he is talking about how the Catholics are all gathering together and trying to form these big groups in order to maintain, promote, and popularize their religion. They're gathering together, they're flocking together as a way to gain and keep their power. I also found versions of this saying throughout various cultures. The Chinese kind of proverb, roughly translated, is similar things collect similar people. We could probably do a whole sermon just on that one. The way that the Hebrew saying goes is that the starling went together with the crow. I had no idea what that meant, but it turns out a starling looks like a crow, and so when the crow gets into shenanigans, a lot of times the starling is the one who gets in trouble for it. But then this is my favorite one, the Japanese proverb, where the eyes go, the eyeballs follow. You know, I spent several minutes trying to look at something and see if my eyeballs would follow or not when I read that one. But all of the cultures, through all of the ages, they're constantly trying to figure out this, describe this idea of like seeking out like, because it's something that we do. That we create places for others to do it, and quite frankly, we teach our children to do it. And so the question this morning is there anything wrong with people alike flocking together? Don't we work together better when we all know that we're working towards the same goal and we're doing it with the same values? And when we look at birds actually flocking together, this is what they do. They are so unified in knowing where they're going and what that's going to look like and how to sense danger so that they need to turn, that they do this thing where they anticipate the movement of the bird next to them. They can't wait for the bird next to them to turn because then that will be too slow and it'll put them in danger or harm's way of the predator that's coming after them. So they have to anticipate the danger that's coming, anticipate the movement of the flock so that they can fly together. And then, while they are together, then there's this power and beauty in the flock. They're nimble and quick and efficient. They have the power to protect, both because of their number, but also because then the vulnerable birds can be in the midst of the flock. So we hear that and we understand that there is power when like-minded individuals gather together and seek to accomplish something, that we too can move quickly and efficiently. There's comfort there, there's power there, there's protection there. I know what's making that noise. That'd be better. So this flock comes together, and we can do that too, right? That we have that we can move quickly and efficiently, comfort, power, protection. And we've seen that too at Kairos, right? We've seen that happen. That's how we got to be here, because a whole group of adults gathered together and of one mind thought, there's got to be a different way to do church. We want to lean into what God's calling us and we want to see something different. And so this group forms and these big, massive, beautiful, powerful things have happened here. You have seen this certainly when you think even recently about the nimbleness and ability to pivot that you all demonstrated during quarantine and pastoral transition times. Think about when the world is changing and Kairos still continues to make a statement in the world and in the community through our partnership with our ministry partners like Saving Hearts Together or Sandy Springs Mission. There's an impact on being able to gather together and not arguing about what we're gonna do, but being unified in mind and spirit, moving together towards a goal in a way that is so smooth that we almost anticipate one another's movements. Certainly, we have flocked together and goodness has resulted. But I think the question I wanna ask this morning then, is that goodness because we are like-minded? Is the like-mindedness the reason goodness has followed? I agree, there's power when like-minded people gather together and they seek to accomplish something. I agree that when we are like-minded, the church can move quickly, efficiently, that there is comfort, that there's power, that there's protection. But I think that the hard questions that we need to ask this morning are, protection from what? Power to what end? When we gather together as like-minded people, what is it we're trying to accomplish? And is that what the church, what God designed the church to be? So we keep looking in scripture then, we keep thinking about these Proverbs, and we see later in the book of Proverbs 27:17, it tells us that as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And we think that clears it up, right? That's right, when like-minded people get together, we are sharper and we are better able to do the job that we have been called to do. Except, every Saturday, there is a farmer's market in Roswell, where I live. If you are a lover of farmers markets, Alpharetta has a great one. The one in Roswell is so sweet. It's so sweet, but I really just get my eggs and then go home. But when you go in there, the first booth on the right is always the knife sharpening guy. And that's where everybody in Roswell goes to get their knives sharpened, is the knife sharpening guy. And here's the thing. He has this wheel, a whetstone wheel, that he uses to sharpen the knives. At no point in time do you walk by the booth and he's beating the knives against one another in order to make them sharper. The knives have to be rubbed up either against the whetstone, or if it's going to be something that's made of the same material, so if it's going to be made out of steel, the sharpener has to be a different shape. That's why your knife block comes with a rod. It's the same thing for iron. And if you're going to sharpen iron, the other iron equipment that's going to sharpen your knife or spear has to be a different shape. It has to be a hammer to hammer it. It has to look different than the knife or the rod. Because rubbing two knives together or rubbing two iron spears together dulls them. It doesn't make them sharper. So in order for them to do that which they have created to do, they have to go through the friction of being up against a tool that looks completely different from them. So quite frankly, when we look at Scripture and who Scripture calls us to be as a community of faith, not one single time does it tell us to gather with people who look like us or talk like us or who fall in the same tax bracket as us. And actually, when we look at Scripture, when we look at when the church starts in the book of Acts and the Holy Spirit comes blowing through, I will remind you that all the people are gathered. They're all kinds of different cultures and communities. They're different nationalities. They're speaking different languages. There's certainly friction with the wind blowing and the fires. But the church is better and stronger because of it. And then you might also remember the time that Peter was called to go to Cornelius. And Peter says to the people, "You yourselves know that it is improper for a Jew to associate with or visit an outsider, but God has shown me that I should not call anyone profane or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection." So Peter was called by God to go see this person and had to have a dream. God had to talk to him in a dream. There was a little bit of hesitation, but then he went. And Peter and Cornelius, the church, was stronger and better for it. And you might remember that Jesus spent a lot of time with the Pharisees and the tax collectors and the prostitutes and the scribes, all sorts of different people. Super easy to say that Jesus had some friction in his life and eventually what cost him his life. But the church is stronger and better for it. The Bible, then, the question is the Bible telling us to all be like-minded, or is it calling us to lean into the hard part of being with very different people who all have different ideas about what it looks like to be faithful, for us all to be faithful followers of God? So let's go back, then, to our proverb that we started with this morning. Remember, it said, "Whoever walks with the wise become wise, but the companion of the fool suffers harm." And so I wonder, is that calling us then? What is that telling us about what it looks like, how we flock together, how we come together? And what I want you to know about the book of Proverbs is that what we would call the narrative arc of the book of Proverbs, how it works through the book of Proverbs, is that there is a teacher who is constantly teaching the learner. And the learner, as we work our way through the book of Proverbs, the learner is getting older and older. So the first 9 chapters, the learner is younger, and it's very simple and basic. And then we get to 10 through 22, and it gets more complicated, and all the way until the learner reaches what I would argue are our end-of-life years. And over, as the learner begins to understand that life is more complicated, the Proverbs then also get more complicated. And the biblical Proverbs do the same thing that we talked about with our worldly Proverbs. In Proverbs 26, these two verses come right next to each other. "Do not answer fools according to their folly, lest you fool yourself. Answer fools according to their folly, lest they be wise in their own eyes." They come right back to back with each other, because what the teacher is saying in the book of Proverbs is life can't be tied up in an easy bow, and neither can wisdom. So this call that we have to continually be finding wisdom and figuring out what it looks like for how we come together as a faithful community, what the teacher in the book of Proverbs is telling us is that wisdom is not the ability to always be correct, or to always be in power, or to always be protected. But rather, wisdom is the ability to know how to apply truth to each situation, even when it's hard. Wisdom, then, is the ability to know when to flock with birds who are like you. Wisdom, then, is the ability not to flock just because you want to avoid the rub, the conflict, the hard work of being a stronger, more faithful community. Wisdom is not seeking protection and power just for the sake of being correct and unchallenged. Wisdom is being willing to listen to the movement of the Spirit to form a friendship with someone who looks or works or dreams differently than you do. Wisdom is the willingness to hear someone tell you that they don't agree with your understanding of how the church works, or even your understanding of what is holy, even though it's hard and it challenges your very understanding of the sacred. And so, this week, my prayer for you and for me is, may we be wise. May we know how to apply the truth so that we will have the courage and the boldness to connect with someone who we might not normally flock with. And then, may we know the gift of life that comes from being with them in the church. Amen. Friends, let's pray. Holy God, indeed, we give you thanks for this day, for this opportunity to be together, to be gathered together with people that we love so dearly. And so we pray, God, that you would continue to help us to be strong and bold and faithful and humble enough, Lord, to know your people in a whole new way. Be with us, God, and bless us. Amen.